For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
This week we're going to close out our series on prayer, which I've entitled Mentors in Prayer, because we've been looking to the authors of the New Testament for guidance on developing this wonderful feature of our relationship with Christ, to be able to talk with Him, talk to Him, and to listen to Him. And so this morning, what I'd like to do by way of closing is to share with you some practical advice for developing your own prayer relationship with God. Last week, I shared what I have found to be some common hindrances to our prayer, to my prayer life, and I think to most of us. And so this week I want to talk positively then about some practical steps that we can take, some practical principles that we can, with God's help, put into application and develop a growing prayer life with God. Now, I just want to say that I'm not speaking to you on this subject as a prayer ninja master. I mentioned that at the beginning of this series, and I'm going to mention it again. All through my Christian life now, which it's been over 35 years since I first met Jesus personally, and all through that time, of the ways that the Bible emphasizes for us to grow in Christ, prayer has always been the caboose in that train in my life. This has been the weakest part of my own developing a relationship with Christ. And I don't have any illusions about that. And I know that there are people in this room who are further along in prayer than I am. And I hope that we'll even get a chance to hear from some of them before we close up this morning. But having said all that, by the grace of God, He's enabled me to make progress in this area. And I'm more excited now about the prospect of development in my prayer life than I was 30 years ago. So it's in that spirit that I want to share these principles. Here's the first one. That is that as you seek to develop your own prayer life with God, you need to remember and come back to this over and over again that God will help you to pray. And I mentioned this because I'm convinced that there is a diabolical, and I use that word carefully, and I mean it literally, I'm convinced that there is a diabolical plot to not only prevent Christians from developing their prayer lives, but to even get us to the point where we associate the whole idea of prayer with guilt and personal defeat. How many of you know about the association of guilt and defeat when you hear these words? Diet. Exercise program. You know what I'm talking about? So here's how it works in my life, and I've seen this over and over again. You know, someone will be talking about how great their prayer life is. Or worse yet, I'll read one of these spiritual biographies where it tells you that the key to this person's spiritual life is that they spent hours a day alone in prayer to God. And I'll just think, oh, you know, I'll make a vow, God, I'm going to do better in prayer. And usually that vow has to do primarily with spending a certain amount of time with God alone in concentrated prayer. I'm going to do better. And then what happens, and I know this is my own unique story, what happens is that, you know, the weakness, my own weakness as a person, and the aversion of my sinful nature, which we talked about last week, kind of form the perfect storm, and before long, you know, that time that I'm trying to spend with God gets more and more bland. My thoughts wander more and more. I sleep in if it's in the morning. And before you know it, the whole thing is just a fiasco. And I kind of limp away in defeat. And then I think, you don't really love God. If you loved God, certainly you would talk to Him. more. And I'll just think, oh, you know, and over a period of time, even this idea, like I said, of spending time with God sets off this association where I just, it's a negative in my spiritual life that I don't want to think about, or that I just feel guilty about, or that I even get cynical about. So when I hear these other stories, I just think, they're lying. Now, I told you I was no prayer ninja master. And the thing that I want to emphasize is that that whole cycle, which I think many of us have experienced, is primarily because we get our focus primarily on our efforts to pray, and on consequently our weakness in and failure in praying, rather than focusing on God's help for us in this area. And I just want to mention the things that I think we need to focus on in this area. One is that God places within each of us, if you've met Christ, then Jesus Christ has come to live in your heart through His Holy Spirit. And His Spirit will continue to place within you the desire to talk to Him. You see, a lot of times we feel like it's all up to me to remember to talk to God. And since I didn't remember to talk to God, oh my God. Don't worry. God's Spirit will continue to issue you the invitation to talk to God. And in fact, if you're like me, your concern over the weakness of your prayer life is in itself a proof that Christ lives within you. I was never very concerned about how little I talked with God before I met Christ. And the fact that I find that as a concern is itself an affirmation that He is there continuing to issue that invitation. So I don't have to worry about forgetting. He'll remind me. Secondly, and I talked about this last week, just by way of reminder, it doesn't matter how bad your prayer life is, how many times you've made new starts and failed, how long it's been since you last even talked to God, He's always welcomes you into His presence, and He's excited and delighted to talk with you. He's like the prodigal son's father. A lot of you know that story. The son who took his father's inheritance and went out and squandered it, sleeping with prostitutes and all this stuff, and just really made a mess of his life. And then he decided, you know, I'm going to go back to my father. And he went back to his father. And before he could even tell his father how sorry he was for what he'd done, the father just ran to him and embraced him. And with tears of joy, welcomed him back. And that is a picture not only of how God views you when you turn to Him through Christ initially. That's a picture of how God responds when you talk to Him after not talking to Him for a long time. Don't waste one shred of energy or time to beat yourself or even to explain where you've been. Just go into the presence of God. Christ's death has already dealt with not only your active sins against Him, but the sin of prayerlessness. And He welcomes you into His presence to just resume conversing with Him. And then thirdly, God will help you learn how to talk with Him. A lot of us are tongue-tied when we come into God's presence. A lot of us shrink back from talking to Him because we don't know really what to say. And I just want to appeal to you, don't worry about that either, because Paul says in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, will help us to pray. We don't know how to pray as we ought, he says. But he'll help you learn how to talk with God. Sometimes God really doesn't want so much to hear you talk to him as just to come into his presence and say, thank you for loving me. But over time, he will teach you through his word, the priorities for your own prayer life. His Spirit will guide you, and you'll learn to recognize the voice of His Spirit, and He'll help you over time to learn how to talk with Him in prayer. So don't focus on your failed resolutions to pray more. And don't listen to that diabolical voice that says this whole arena is one that's, you better not even try to go that way anymore, because it'll just be one more failed diet or exercise program. Focus on God's love for you and God's promise that he'll help you learn how to talk with him. And make that your basis. I think this quote captures this point. Recently, this guy says, I read again of someone who decided to make such a commitment to pray. And my conscience was pricked. Oh, I need to do that. But I knew myself well enough to know that something other than just resolve was being called for. And so I began to pray about praying. And he says, I expressed to God my frustrated longings, my jaded sense of caution about trying again, my sense of failure over working at being more disciplined and regular in prayer. And I discovered something happening from such simple praying. I was drawn into the presence of one who had far more than I did the power to keep me close. See, we feel like it's up to us to keep ourselves close to God. It's God who has the power to keep us close to him. I found my focus shifting subtly from my efforts to God's, from rigor to grace, from rigidity to relationship. And I soon realized that this was happening regularly, and I was praying more. I became less worried about the mechanics and methods, and in turn, I was more motivated. God so cares for us that he himself helps us to pray. Now, that is the mindset of someone who's focused on the fact that God wants to help me to pray. Now, let me illustrate the next two principles. As we turn to what does it look like to develop a growing prayer life with God, I want to suggest to you that it involves two different ways of praying. And I'm going to call them keeping in touch with God and spending quality time with God. And this is so similar, for example, to a good marriage. In a good marriage, the relationship is continuing to grow and deepen through the years. And a lot of how that happens is because of the ways in which the husband and the wife relate to each other. And so a quality time refers to that time where we will spend longer period of time doing something together, but also being careful to communicate and to spend pleasurable time with each other. My wife and I have a date night. Right now it's on Tuesday nights. That's not the only quality time we have. But that idea of quality time is super important for the strength and the deepening of our relationship. But then there's always also keeping in touch with each other. And so through the course of a day, in a growing marriage, usually through the course of the day, there'll be a few points where we don't maybe have a long conversation. Maybe it's by phone. Maybe it's before we leave to go our separate ways. But where we're just touching base with each other and connecting in that way. And these two then have a dynamic relationship with each other. The more that you keep in touch with your spouse, the easier and more enjoyable the quality time tends to be. And when you have good quality time with your spouse, it tends to motivate you to keep in touch. Now, I want to suggest to you that the heart of a developing prayer life is very, very similar in this regard. And I bring this up in part to say that when most Christians in America, at least, think about or talk about developing their prayer lives, it's almost always exclusively about the one on the right. How can I have a victorious quiet time? That's the term that's usually used, a quiet time, a concentrated, daily, solitary, sustained period of time with God. And I am not for one moment denigrating that in any way. I'm just saying that that picture's imbalanced. And you will find that keeping in touch with God is just as important as spending quality time alone with God. And God will help us make progress in both of these arenas. Having said that, let me give you just some words of advice about both of these ways of talking to God, of relating to God. With regard to keeping in touch with God throughout the day, this is what Paul is referring to in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 when he says, pray without ceasing. Now that's hyperbole. He doesn't mean literally that the standard is that you consciously talk to God in every moment of your life. I mean, after all, there's at least 6 to 8 hours each day when hopefully I'm not going to be talking to God or anyone or thinking about anyone, but I'm going to get sleep. Okay? And also, there are many activities during the course of a day that require our full attention where it would be dangerous to talk consciously to God. I mean, would you want your surgeon consciously talking to God when he works on your shoulder? Do you think the police want you consciously focusing on talking to God when you're in rush hour traffic? So he's not talking about this in a literalistic way, but what he's emphasizing is that your conversation with God should go on throughout the day so that ideally more and more it becomes your default to turn back to God to resume the conversation. And I think that this is, for me, it's been very, very helpful to realize that this is just as important, just as significant as the quality time with God. Because for me, the quality time with God, that's been the hardest thing to develop. And I'm still a novice there. But this is an area where I think a lot of us can make progress that will really increase your closeness with God and your awareness of God's activity and presence in your life. There's two ways that you can do this, primarily. One is just to pray spontaneously throughout the day, alone. I mean, literally as simple as when you're in the middle of a class or a downtime at work and the thought comes, you know, I ought to just turn to God and say, God. Turn to God and say, God. Probably silently. Don't underestimate the spiritual power and implications of simply taking 2 seconds to respond to his Spirit's invitation to turn to him and acknowledge his presence. But I want to specifically recommend in this arena that you begin to break your day up into sections that really do require your full concentration. But look for the seams or the transitions between those situations. And especially in those transitions between the situations, turn back to God. And so when I wake up in the morning, you know, there's a transitional period there. And I could say, I could talk to God for a couple of minutes or even 30 seconds. And then I got to get up and focus on making myself from some breakfast or whatever it is, or getting the kids ready, which requires sustained concentration. But for me then, on my way to work, there's 10 minutes there where part of that time I can talk to God. And I can just talk to him like we mentioned earlier in the series. I can present myself to him for the day and just thank him for being in my life and hold up maybe one or two things that I see coming. And then comes another period of sustained concentrated activity. But then maybe there's a break to the bathroom. And as you get older, there's more of those. And those are transitional times. When you can talk to, listen, don't, some great moments in the history of God's work in humanity happen there. And we could fill a whole series with that. But I'm serious. There's an opportunity just to talk with God about, talk to him about what just happened. And if it went badly, say, thank you that you love me and forgive me. If it went well, say, thank you for what you did there. And then take a brief look to the next section and hold that up to him. And go through the day that way. And see how that increases your awareness of God's activity in your life and how it increases your conscious dependence upon him. The second way that you can do this is by praying with other Christians. And I think this is the great secret weapon, at least in American Christianity, because of our hyper-individualistic culture. We tend to think of prayer only in terms of me talking to God alone. There's an incredible discomfort and even aversion with a lot of American Christians about the idea of praying out loud with other brothers and sisters. And it is just so important. And you would be amazed at how God would help you develop your prayer life with him if you just pray more out loud with some other brothers and sisters. And you can do this in two ways. You can schedule times in your week that will include talking to God out loud with another brother or sister, or a few of them. I mean, I get together with a few guys each week for a breakfast or a lunch to catch up on what God's doing in our lives and just to enjoy our friendship. And it's now automatic. When we get done at that restaurant, we just go out and get in one of our cars together and we spend a few minutes talking to God together. It's just what we do because we decided that's what we're going to do. That's not rocket science. You could decide, if you know Christ and your spouse knows Christ, you could decide today, you know what, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk to God out loud together at least a couple of times a week. And you may not have any idea of the power for good in your marriage that you would be unleashing if you just began to talk to God together out loud a couple of times a week. And if you're in a home group, then your home group probably has a time when anyone is invited to come together just to pray and to pray for each other and for the needs of other people and to thank God. Some of your home groups have little pods or clusters of people who get together at certain times each week to talk to God together. If they don't have that, ask your home group leaders, do we have that? And I'm giving you authorization as much as I could do that. If they say no, then say to them, why not? Why don't we have that? We should have that. And make a commitment to get together with a few people from your home group weekly to talk to God together, to thank him and praise him for what you see him doing, to pray for each other and to pray for the people that God has placed you in their lives to be lights for Christ. This is huge. You'll find, you know, it's like any, like, the only reason why I'm a runner is because I realized that very early on that if I go out and try to do this alone, I know I'll quit. And I proved that to myself a few times. Anything like that, you do with other people. You do with other people because it's always more enjoyable to do with. Because on that day when you really are unmotivated, they're going to be there saying, hey, let's do it. And in prayer, I don't know about you. I mean, I'm no guru in this area. I'm weak. I need help. I need other people who will pray with me. And you need it too. And then there's spontaneously praying with another brother or sister. I learned this from Jeff Gordon. And we would bump into each other at the office years ago, and we'd have maybe a 2-minute conversation kind of catching up, which was always enjoyable because Jeff's such a great guy. And most of the time, as the conversation would come to an end, Jeff would say something like this. He'd say, hey, you want to pray real quick together? And a lot of time I'd think, no. But I didn't want to sound unspiritual. So I said, yeah, okay. And, you know, it was good. It was good just to take a couple of minutes and just to talk to God about what we talked about and go on. What a powerful spiritual ministry that is. To be one who initiates brief, spontaneous prayer with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Every one of you could have that powerful ministry. All it takes is saying, hey, I mean, it's real complicated. Hey, you want to pray for a couple minutes before we go? It's huge. You have no idea of the impact that can have. And so, keeping in touch with God throughout the day, both in your own situational, solitary turning to God and in praying with other Christians. This is so huge. It's huge. And I just challenge you. Why don't you just take this week and make the commitment that you're going to pray at least twice a day in the seams, in two of the transitions between the situations in your busy life, that you're going to turn to God twice each day in those seams and just call out to Him and speak with Him for a couple minutes. And I challenge you to make a commitment to pray at least twice this week. No, excuse me. That's too light. I'm going to challenge you, if you know Christ, to pray at least once each day this week with another brother or sister in Christ. Pray out loud with another brother and sister in Christ at least once a day this week, and pray spontaneously in one of those seams at least twice a day. And see what happens. All right. Now, having said that, I want to talk for just a few minutes about building a quality time alone with God. Let me just say that if you're interested in reading more on this subject, the best book that I have found on this is Joel Comiskey's An Appointment with the King. An Appointment with the King. It's out there, I'm sure, at the bookstore, but it won't be for long, but they'll get more in. I love this book because Comiskey is focused on God's love and grace. He doesn't put you under a pile. He's extremely practical, and it's enthusiastic in a positive way. Comiskey's Appointment with the King. Let me just share with you a few ideas that are extremely practical and that you can, that are still flexible enough that you can apply them in your own personalized way as you set out to. And I think the idea here is that I'm going to gradually make progress for most of us. I mean, there's some of you, I know people who've met Christ, and from the day they met Christ, like, they just spend quality time with Him alone every day, and I just look at them in awe, like, I am not worthy to be in your presence. That's not the way it's been for me. But here's some ideas. I'm just going to tick them off and give heed to the ones that strike you. That's pretty commonsensical. First, I think it's good to try to find a place and a time that are normally undisturbed. And that's going to vary with who you are. Some people need absolute silence. Other people can spend quality time with God regularly as they ride the bus every morning. But find a time and a place that is normally undisturbed for you, because you're going to have enough trouble fighting internal distraction. You don't need extra external disturbance. So that's one tip. Secondly, I highly recommend keeping a notepad or a Palm Pilot or something close by, because as I mentioned last week, when you start spending quality time with God, you're going to be amazed at the thoughts that come into your mind. Must-do items that you are successfully able to ignore for weeks. That suddenly you're like, I've got to call the plumber about that potential dishwasher leak or whatever it is. And what I do is that I just have a pad there and I just jot those down. It's like, there. I'm being responsible because I'm on kind of anal, you know. I did it. And then I can forget about it. And also to jot down things that you hear from God during this time. As you interact with his word, as you talk with him, you will find that God grants you insights or often gives you words of guidance, not audibly for me, but that are helpful, and I want to capture those. So that's the reason for that tip. Thirdly, I think we should do what works best for our bodies. We are embodied persons. And so what we do with our body matters, and we need to approach this whole area bodily in a way that's most conducive to us focusing on God. So some people, for example, spend quality time with God best on their knees. Other people sitting up in a certain kind of chair is better. Other people lying down, not me. That's a good way to prematurely end quality time with God or anyone. Other people, and I'm one of them, I like to walk. I'm a real activistic person, and I found that actually doing something with my body, like walking, helps me, if I'm walking in a relatively undisturbed place, helps me to talk to God. So what works for you? You may need to experiment here. Likewise, do you talk to God best silently? I don't. I can't go more than a sentence or two silently before I'm off into something else. Or do you do best talking to God out loud? Or do you do best talking to God, writing out what you're wanting to say to him? What works for you? Experiment. And even when you find something, it will probably evolve over the years. But what do you do with your body that will help you to focus on enjoying your time with God? Fourth, I highly recommend beginning with a little bit of time just to read some of God's word and to reflect a little bit on what you read. I have a very difficult time, whether it's if I meet with God in this way in the morning, which is what I'm doing right now because I'm more alert then, and that's a relative term. After coffee, I'm relatively more alert. But it's very difficult for me to just jump right in to connecting with God. I mean, I got mental noise going on all over the place and everything else. And so I highly recommend beginning this time by just maybe what I'm doing is I'm just reading a couple of chapters from the Bible. And I'm on this schedule plan that D.A. Carson recommends, his two-volume work, For the Love of God, is a great way to help you read through the whole Bible in 2 years if you just read two chapters a day. And he'll have a one-page, really insightful set of comments on one of those chapters. That works for me. But I think that you'll find that is an important step in spending quality time with God. Fifth, I recommend having a default prayer ready if you get stuck. I mean, I'm weak here. And there's a lot of times when it's like, okay, here we are, God. Sort of like when I show up with my wife for date night. Here we are. What do we do? I mean, I'm a kind of a, what's the word? There's a lot of words. So I have some backup plans. One of them is, as I've shared with you a few weeks ago, I'll start praying through the Lord's Prayer personally. And just, you know, say, Lord, you're my Father. And I will begin to thank him for the fact that he loves me. And he's my Father now, and no one and nothing can ever change the love that he has for me. And then I'll work my way through that prayer. And, you know, you're my King. And I am so glad to have the privilege to serve you for this day, another day unique to know you better and to serve you. And then I begin to just share with him the things that I see that I'm going to need to represent him today. That will help. That primes the pump. That will help me engage with God. You may find that singing a song, Paul says, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making a melody in your hearts to God, or that playing a song that has a biblical content that you really enjoy and that connects you on the heart level, that is helpful for you. What is your backup plan to help you engage with God? Be creative. Sixth, balance your own personal requests with praise and thanksgiving to God and prayer for other people. We live in a very narcissistic culture, and we're naturally self-centered anyway. And time with God frequently, by default, tends to degenerate into, God, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that, I need this, I need that, I need this. And, you know, he wants to hear all of our requests. But you'll find that if you're focused only on asking God for what you need, God shrinks in size. I don't know how to explain it. He just shrinks in size. And you'll tend to implode in upon yourself. That's why I need to deliberately spend time, and usually it's helpful for me on the front end, to spend some time thanking God for whatever. And sometimes I confess, because I'm such an idiot here, whatever shred of goodness that I can see that he's done in my life recently. And spend a little bit of time praising him for who he is. It gets my focus off myself and on how big God is, which will help me as I bring my needs to him. And to spend some time praying for other people along the lines that we've talked about in the last several weeks, to hold them up before God and to pray for them according to what we know God's will is, so that our focus is lifted off of ourselves in an unhealthy way onto the greatness and the love of God and onto the needs of other people. So there's a balance that we need to ask God to help us get in this area. And lastly, people say, how long should you spend? Heck, I don't know. I mean, you may find, anyway, what I'm saying is something that's not meant to be cryptic. Spend an amount of time that's long enough and short enough. What do I mean by that? By long enough, I mean that you'll find that in order to engage with God and have some quality communion with him, it usually takes more than a few minutes, because for me, it takes the first 5 or 10 minutes just to get quiet. I'm an activistic person, and I live in a very hectic world. And it takes me 5 or 10 minutes by reading a little bit of the word and asking God, please help me quiet down, and writing down a few of those urgent things that come to mind before my heart is quiet enough to begin to talk with him. This is what the Puritans used to call pray until you pray. That I like that phrase. Pray until you pray. Spend enough time before God that you actually, you know, become quiet enough that you begin to connect with him. And you say, what does that mean? I can't explain it to you. On the other hand, I recommend keeping this period of time short enough, especially as you're trying to build this into your life, short enough that you don't overdo it. And that sounds horrible. Gary, how could you ever suggest overdoing quality time with God? I'm just talking about how weak I am. I remember saying, I'm going to get in shape this year, so I'm going to start by exercising an hour every day. You know how long that lasted? And when I finally got it through my mind, no, if I take 20 minutes three times a week and do it with two other people, maybe I can do that. And, you know, that's what I was able to do, running, and then I built on that. It's better to spend less time with God in this way and for it to become part of your habit structure and something that you are beginning to enjoy, not only because you had such a great time this morning with God. Most of the time, folks, if I were to be brutally honest, most of the time, these times between me and God are not super exciting or enjoyable. You know what I find is that I reap the benefit of these times during the day, that I am more alert to God, and I am more strengthened, and the peace of God guards my heart and my mind during the day. And so having some exciting time during this time is a wonderful bonus for me. But pick a period of time that's short enough that you can do it and then build on it. Those are some thoughts that I have found to be helpful in this area. And so I just urge you, launch out again in this area. Launch out again along these lines and begin to build again, maybe for you, begin to build some quality time with God on a regular basis. Now, one last point that I want to make, which is very basic, and that is that you learn to pray by praying. When all is said and done, you learn to pray by praying. It's like learning a foreign language. Having a foreign language teacher is very helpful. Having a language textbook is very helpful. But in the last analysis, those who really learn a foreign language and who wind up enjoying it are people who just plunge in and start speaking it and immerse themselves in the company of others who speak it. Because you learn to speak a foreign language by speaking it. And there's a lot of intuitive, you develop what you don't recognize in speaking English because you have it without realizing it. You begin to develop an intuitive sense in speaking that other language. In the same way, it's as we just plunge in and begin to pray and stay at it. That's how we learn to pray. And you can become, every person in this room, you can become one who's prayer life becomes increasingly enjoyable, increasingly regular, increasingly effectual in your own life and in the life of others. Learn to pray by praying. Here's how J.I. Packer puts this. Each Christian's prayer life, like every good marriage, has in it some common factors about which one can generalize, and also some uniquenesses which no other Christian's prayer life will quite match. You are you, and I am I, and we must each find our own way with God. And there's no recipe for prayer that can work for us like a handyman's do-it-yourself manual or cookbook. A manual or a cookbook, praying is not like carpentry or cookery. It's the active exercise of a personal relationship, a kind of friendship with the living God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And as in other close relationships, so in prayer, you have to find out by trial and error what is right for you. And you have to learn to pray by praying. The only rules are, stay within the biblical guidelines. And within those guidelines, as John Chapman puts it, he must be someone, I don't know who he is. He said, pray as you can, and don't try to pray as you can't. I think there's a lot of wisdom and a lot of freedom in what Packer is saying there. And so I commend to you the notion of a growing prayer life with God as a lifelong pursuit. I have one final word, and that is I'm aware of the fact that there are probably some of you here this morning who, as you have listened to this brief talk on developing a prayer life with Christ, feel like you're on the outside looking in. And it may be that even as you sit here, you sense on the one hand, I cannot relate to what they're talking about in terms of having a relationship with God that could actually grow and deepen in personal communion. But at the same time, you feel an attraction that you would like to have that. And I want to tell you that it is as easy as asking Jesus Christ to come into your life and give you a relationship with God. It's as easy as that to go from the outside looking in to coming into the inside where you have your own relationship with Christ that can grow, that can develop, that can deepen in intimacy for the rest of your life, right on into eternity. You can begin that this morning if you ask Christ just to forgive you and come into your heart. And I'll give you a chance to ask him to do that. You could pray with me at the end of our meeting if you want to. All right, well, let's do something novel as we close. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are a personal God. You're not an impersonal force, but you are a person who loves us and who made us in your image as persons, not only so that we could know other human persons, but so that we could know you as a person. Thank you that it is possible to have a relationship with you where we experience your love and your presence in our lives. And thank you that it is possible for that relationship to grow and to deepen. Thank you for your amazing love and forgiveness that secures that relationship through what you did for us through Jesus, not through what we do for you. And Lord, I want to pray with and invite those here this morning to pray to you, Lord, if they sit here sensing that we're talking about something that they don't have, but that they want to have. And Lord, I pray that you will help them even now just to call out to you and say, Jesus, I believe that you're God's Son. I believe that you came to lay down your life to pay for my guilt. I thank you that you died on the cross to forgive me. And I want you to give me this gift of forgiveness. And I want you to come and live in my heart so that I can begin to experience a personal relationship with God. Thank you for doing that. Lord, I thank you for how you answered that prayer for me many years ago, and how, as I look back, that was the most important decision I ever made. And I thank you for answering that prayer for everyone who prayed that this morning. Amen.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted, but you may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.